Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Are you guys done? Can we get started?
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Frank the Bunny. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop. Oh, Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
This is whether it's on our top list or not, this is in the internet's top list. So, and that's who we're speaking to.
What do you mean the internet top? Like a lot of people like this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go on Facebook and search my favorite movies.
It's like Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
interesting.
I don't know if any of them love it that much, but it's just weird enough to be like, yeah. I was going to say it's the Idiot's Primer.
You read my mind that I was going to compare this to Primer.
Yes.
But before we go any further, let's introduce our special guest for this episode, Mr. Scott Lifton.
Uh-oh, you guys. Thanks for having me. I am on the supporting this film list. Very excited.
I was just going to say, I think Scott's representing the internet for this. He has been.
I represent the internet. I'm a human embodiment of the internet.
So wait, does it mean you don't like this movie?
I think it's fine. It just, this did not change my life.
like some people claimed.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
All right.
And this goes in another long list of movies that I didn't watch it for a long time. You know, it was at friend's house while we were partying, or, you know, I came in the middle of it or something. And so by the time I actually watched it, I was probably 30.
So this movie came out in 2001. I know you're going to get into the facts in a minute, but this movie came out in 2001, but it was based on the 90s. Like the style of it is based on the 90s. Is that correct?
Well, it was set in 88.
Sorry. Okay. 88. So I have a weird thing about this movie. I did not see it in the theater.
No one saw it in the theater.
Okay.
It almost went straight to video.
So when I watched this movie for the first time, I must have been stoned or something, because as I'm watching this movie, I swear to you, I felt like, and I still have this memory, like I had seen it when I was in like fifth grade, let's say, which would have been 95-ish, 96. Now, I don't know if it's because I was stoned and who knows what was going on, or if because the style of the movie was kind of an 80s, 90s thing, but I have this weird mental, I don't know what you want to call it, but when I first watched that movie, I swear it felt like I have seen it before.
I think there's some explanations for this.
Drugs.
Parallel universe.
That's true. It does, like, yeah, it was set in 88, but it felt 90s. And I think he was pressured to put it in the now. And so I think he wanted it to be super 80s.
Yeah.
And I think all the producers wanted it to be now. And so all the dates still reference 88. But
the style of it was very 90s.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't go crazy with the 80s hair and clothes and cars. And
I mean, they, a little bit. You know, the conversations, the pop culture conversations they have, the soundtrack, obviously very 80s.
Yeah, is the music all right on? Because I meant to look up and see if any of these songs came out in like 91 or something.
No, that's 80s music.
Okay.
It's A Mad World, which is a redone song from Tears for Fears, who did do it in the 80s. But it's not the Tears for Fears original they're playing.
I don't know what it is, but I remember saying, I've seen this movie before. When I saw it in like 2002, I don't know.
You said
know.
You didn't see it at the theater.
I did not see it in the theater. I probably saw it at a friend's house. I was probably stoned.
Yeah.
But I have, even now, I can remember the feeling of watching this movie and be like, I've seen this before. I know all these scenes. I even knew it was going to happen. It was very strange.
Weird.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my weird thing about this movie?
Yes.
I have woken up with Mad World in my head more than any other song.
Like, which song is that?
The The dreams I have of dying
are the best I've ever had. Oh, yeah. Had.
It's a very catchy song.
It is, and it's very dreamy, and I don't know it that well, but I will, like, that song will be in my dream as I'm waking up, and it'll kind of stay with me
till
lunch.
That's a creepy song to be dreaming about as you're waking up and coming to.
It's, yeah, it kind of, it messes with my whole morning when that happens. Like, what's going
what
on?
What does that mean?
Have you ever done that, like woken up with a song in your head that you shouldn't know the lyrics to?
Oh, I mean, that's every day of my life.
No, that's literally every day of Scott's life.
That's very common. See, that's,
you need to start a journal, the song Scott was singing this morning.
Yeah,
journal.
There'll be songs that I'll know the words and I'm like, I never had the Wilson Phillips album. Why do I know the words to all these songs?
I don't believe that. First of all, that's a lie.
That's a different podcast.
Welcome everybody to Time Pop. I'm so out of it. I had deja vu all queued up on my computer. I was ready to talk.
Wait, didn't we do that one already?
We sure did, Ari.
So there's a lot of cosmic stuff hanging out about this movie already. Ari thinks she saw it before she saw it. It puts a song in your head every day. You guys aren't even sure which one you're doing. There's a lot happening. Let's just examine this.
And Scott's tongue is bleeding because he just wants to talk about this movie so bad. Just like what you guys. All right, let's get through the facts and then we will get into some fun stuff. Donnie Darko, rated R. Is that just...
Yeah, it's, I guess so. There's some bad words. There's some horror film aspects to it. You want to let like a 11-year-old watch that movie with the rabbit and the shooting in the eye?
And the kid getting run over?
I guess. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of 80s movies. Man, those ratings used to be really loose.
Right. Yeah, you're saying like a PG could get you a boob or a butt.
Yeah, totally. There used to be.
A boob with PG? Maybe PG-13?
No. In the 80s.
No, I
just
watched
one of the guys.
PG?
I watched two PG movies with Little Man recently. 280s and
they had boobs.
He's been great. Yeah,
wow.
Just a quick, like a quick flash.
Yeah. No.
Like a quick nip.
Well, it's so funny.
Like a,
but there was, yeah, it would hold. It would, you'd know what you're looking at. But no violence. And now we see cities
violence
of people getting
ass.
Decimated in a PG movie. But if you show some side boob, it's PG-13. So,
yeah.
Boy, how things have changed. Donnie Darko, rated R, 1 hour and 53 minutes, released January 30th, 2002, in France at least. I don't know when we got it here in the States, but apparently it had a big release in France, starring the siblings. Gyllenhaals.
So would that be Gyllenhaal-I?
Yes.
Gyllenhaal-I?
Gyllenhaal-I. One of my favorite Family Guy cutaways is Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal sitting at a dinner table going, no, I'm more off-putting. No, I'm more off-putting. No, I'm... And then their dad pipes in and goes, kids, you're both just terrible. Which I don't agree with that, but it's still, I can't look at them and not think of that bit. We have the wonderful Patrick Swayze playing a creep and Drew Barrymore, who is in this movie, obviously. And I just wanted to mention her because she's also the reason that we saw this movie. She apparently
she'll produce it.
I think she just acted in it first. And then when he couldn't get any traction after the film festivals, then her production company came in, made sure it got out to a couple of theaters, which it did horrible at because this movie came out shortly after 9/11 and anything to do with plane problems were, and not even that the movie did horrible. People were just like, I don't really want to put this movie out. I don't think this
yeah,
is
I
the
read
time
it,
for it.
It pretty much went straight to video because it was so close to 9/11 and with the plane crash that worked against it.
That's all I got for our facts. I'm going to throw this right over to Ari so we can get into our fiction so we can.
So did you watch the director's cut or did you watch the regular cut?
I watched the regular cut.
Okay. So when I first saw this, I watched the regular cut when I thought I'd seen it before. And then I don't know if I'd seen it again.
So mysterious.
Again, you know, in this movie. Yeah. So, but we watched the director's cut most recently, like a week ago, whenever that was.
So you've only seen this twice?
Twice,
in 20
maybe
years?
Three times. Yeah. Twice, maybe three, maybe three times. I know I've seen scenes here and there, you know, but I would also like to start off by saying I don't like this movie. I know I just broke some people's eardrums or whatever, but I don't think this is a good movie. I think it was very well cast, and that's about it.
Now, do you think it's a bad movie or do you think it's a bad time travel movie?
I think it's a bad story. I mean, it was, you know, it was shot fine. It was edited fine. It, you know, everything was seamless as far as making a movie, but I think it was a bad story. And when we watch the director's cut, I think it's even more of a bad movie because have you seen the director's cut, Des? They spell everything out for you and they just freeze the words on the, it's like, get a little more creative on how you're going to.
So since this was the director's cut, do you think this was what was released? Scott might know about this, our film student here, that was what went to the film festival. And then when the production company picked it up.
That was later on after it all.
Why would that not have been his original cut, though?
That's worth researching. I mean, maybe for exactly what Ari just said, if you watch the regular way, it's kind of very mysterious film. And you're forced to put it together, and that makes it kind of fun. The director's cut is just like, this is what happened, this is why it happened.
Yeah.
And there's just not, I agree with her. I find myself liking the original one better. This is nice to watch later on to fill in those blanks. If you were just kind of trying to, you had your own theories, but you just kind of want to know what they were thinking of what happened. Then this is, oh, this is what the director was thinking.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because I felt the same way after watching the director's cut, I don't know, 5 years ago, and then rewatching this. I have a much better appreciation for the theatrical version now. Like, yeah. I'm glad I kind of got it spelled out for me because
I thought it was a time travel movie. I thought he was just about to go back in time the first time I saw it. And I don't know if you want to get into that yet, but in watching this, it's not just time travel. It's about,
teen angst.
Something that rhymes with parallel universes.
All right. Back to you.
Well, one other thing before, you guys are going to help me with this overview because it's just so all over the place. But one thing I'll say before is, when you mentioned earlier I wanted to compare this to Primer, was people like movies that they don't quite understand, that have a cool twist at the end. They don't understand it and it's, you know, they didn't expect a twist, so they just fucking love the movie, you know? Even though it maybe really wasn't that great of a movie, but they don't really understand it. They feel kind of dumb, but there's a cool twist. I'm going to love this movie. So,
well, it seems so funny, too. It just seems like a dirty trick by the director. Like, you're going to have to see this 5 times to figure it out.
It's, yeah, like, and people love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well.
And this was at the height of DVD sales. So he was, I mean, this is at the time where you're like filming extras.
Yeah.
Before you've even edited the movie together.
So this movie, I guess, opens in 88 and it's apparently in a place called Middlesex.
Yeah.
Is that a real place?
I know I've heard that. I don't know if that's a real place, but I've heard things called Middlesex.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Virginia, I think.
Middlesex, Virginia.
Yeah. Sounds like a real place. Yeah,
that's a very East Coast, New Englandy type name.
Middlesex.
Yeah. It's a,
Like we're Scott.
Are you getting caught up on the sex part? Middlesex is like it's got like an old.
Is that like in England? There's like a sexton. Yeah. Okay.
That's very easily be a name.
When Scott sleeps in between us tonight.
It's called Middlesex.
Middlesex.
Yeah. Got it.
I get both sides.
So I'm gonna reveal. You can edit this out or not. It's up to you. That I'm reading this from the Wikipedia plot.
All right.
Because I didn't take notes. This was like 2 weeks ago. We watched this. So. Anyway.
Cool. That'll go well with my handwritten scrawl.
Great.
I think.
So we open in 88 in a town in Virginia, and we have a kid named Donnie Darko who hears a mysterious voice one night and gets out of bed and follows the mysterious voice out of his house and meets a creepy looking rabbit by the name of Frank. And Frank tells him that the world is going to end in 28 days, 6 hours, and 42 minutes.
And 12 seconds.
Oh, in 12 seconds, yeah.
Nice.
Then Donnie wakes up on a golf course that morning, and as he finds his way back home, he finds a jet engine has fallen through his roof onto his bed, where he would have been sleeping had he not walked out of his house, and he would have been dead. So Frank saved his life.
Yes.
Yes.
But why?
To tell him the world was going to end. No, I don't know. Nobody knows where the jet engine came from. The plane never crash landed somewhere, just mysteriously appeared out of nowhere.
No company is claiming responsibility for this.
So over the next several days, Donnie continues to have visions of Frank, even when he's awake, very creepy visions. But he does also sleepwalk a lot more. His parents take him to the doctor. He gets a psychiatrist.
And he's been going to the doctor for a while, right?
Yeah, like he's been medicated for a while. He had problems in his childhood. He mentions that in the film. Because he might have burned some things down.
That's what's weird about this movie, because this is such, he's in Caramel Juniper, and but he seems to have been this way for a long time. Like, it would make more sense if we saw him before this event.
Yeah, they made it seem like he's always been
as being quote unquote normal, and then this event is what makes him get a little creepy. But
they don't show that,
since he apparently has been creepy for a while, this huge event doesn't really alter him that much. It does alter him,
they said,
but not,
he was schizophrenic, right?
Yeah, which he was already, basically.
Or was he?
So, but I mean, he's like taking medication, and his family acts, you know, as though he's been disturbed for a while. This isn't like something all of a sudden since the plane crash thing. So over the next few days, Donnie continues to see Frank, and he makes him do weird things like flooding his school.
Yeah,
right?
He sees a vision of his school flooded.
And he does it.
He acts that out. Does that get him out of anything?
That gets him to talk to the girl.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's significant.
That's why that's a big deal.
So then there's a girl introduced.
It's all significant.
Gretchen, she's just moved into town, and she also has a troubled background, right?
Who Drew Barrymore puts right on the spot.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Sit next to the boy you think is the cutest.
That would get her fired if nothing else.
Yeah. And then there's Drew Barrymore, who's this teacher who maybe she wasn't the greatest cast. I said
I am president of the Drew Barrymore is the worst actress ever club.
Oh,
sorry, Drew. All right, back to
she story. Might not be the greatest. She is not the worst. I will fight that fight.
So Donnie starts to hang out more with Gretchen, who just moved to town. He also is seeing his therapist a lot, and she tries to hypnotize him, and it doesn't go well.
And at some point here, I don't think I'm jumping the gun. He talks to his teacher.
Science teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit later, but yeah.
It is,
He starts to... He starts to talk about time travel. Well, okay, there's also this old lady that lives in the neighborhood who...
Roberta Sparrow.
Grandma Death.
Sparrow is her last name, who is always going to her mailbox, super old lady, trying to see a letter. People like almost hit her with their cars. She's kind of out of it. So Donnie goes to his science teacher, I think, and says, you know, what do you know about time travel? And then the science teacher introduces him to a book, right? The book about time travel, it's called, or something.
The Philosophy of Time Travel.
And it happens to be written by the old lady who always go to her mailbox, Sparrow. And then there was another thing he did, vandalizing the school.
No, that was when he...
When he flooded it, he also left the axe in the mongrel
statue.
The mascot. Yeah, in the statue.
Is that what
super
it was?
High up
Were
there,
they the
yeah.
mongrels?
The mongrels, yeah.
Okay, I actually have that question in my notes. What the
what a mascot?
Their mascot. And then his time tunnel starts to... He sees a few...
Different visions, yeah.
These things are coming out of his and other people's chest, and they seem to be predicting people's path.
Yeah.
But then he has one that actually, like, beckons him.
And that's when he finds the gun?
Yes.
So in the director's cut, you know, if you haven't seen it, they show excerpts from the book, the time travel book that was written by the old lady. And they show it on the screen, and they freeze, and they let you read it. And in one of the excerpts, it talks about, it kind of explains what those orbs are. It's people's future paths. But so that's what he's seeing. He's seeing these people's, like, almost like wormhole type of things of that protrude out and go, and then they follow it through the hole. It's very strange. So anyway, the bubble water wormhole thing leads Donnie to his father's gun, and he finds the gun and takes it. It follows a little bit with Donnie Darko's little sister, who's in like a dance troupe, and the dance troupe has to go on a trip to LA. So Donnie's mom and little sister go to fly to LA at some point.
Well, and while before that, while, at least in my version, I don't know, they might have flipped this, while the girls are qualifying for that trip to LA, that's when Donnie Darko gets led by Frank the Bunny to Patrick Swayze's house.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's a character played by Patrick Swayze, who's like a religious Is it religion?
He's not religious. He's more of like a self-help guru that the school's... She's religious. That woman that's like works for the school.
The gym teacher, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think she is a gym teacher.
That was
so weird. She's religious. She buys into his stuff.
This whole movie is weird. So I'm sorry if this is sounding very all over the place and sporadic. It's because the movie is kind of like that. You have all these different people and you're kind of like getting a little introduction to them. And
it's just slow and building. And it just kind of, just when you nod off, you realize you've missed something. You're like, that was probably important. But
so
I'm not going to rewind it now.
The Patrick Swayze character is, like a self-help guy who's selling books and, you know, saying cheesy things to make people feel good about themselves. And of course, Donnie Darko's character challenges him, you know, publicly at a school assembly. And at one point, he finds a wallet in front of someone's house and he opens the wallet and it's the guy, Patrick Stewart's character. Swayze. Patrick. Not Patrick Stewart, different Patrick. Swayze. What's his name in the movie? Do you know?
Jim Cunningham.
Cunningham, yeah.
Who asked Donnie about the wallet incident? When did that come up earlier? Did Patrick Swayze ask him what would you do if you found?
Oh, no, the gym teacher did.
The gym teacher, that's right, that's right. So during an exercise, when she's nice like, okay, one. Here's love, here's hate, here's a scenario, you pick a side. Donnie Darko's scenario is you find a man's wallet. It has an address in it. Do you return it? And then he comes to find Patrick Swayze's wallet. So
foreshadowing. Frank the Bunny tells him to burn down the house.
Yes.
So because he realizes whose house it is, he doesn't go in the house, but Frank the Bunny tells him to burn down the house. So he does. And they find in the rubble, they find a kiddie porn dungeon, as they called it. So this guy was a pedophile and he gets arrested. And so that little story is all wrapped up.
Oh, and then that was significant to the woman having to stay. The gym teacher has to stay behind to defend him, which is why she couldn't go on the plane.
Right. Which is why Donnie Darko's mom
goes on the plane.
Goes to L.A.
Which is why they have the house to themselves. They throw the party and all that stuff. So that was necessary to happen.
Right. Yes. So See? The parents are out of town. It's Halloween. Donnie and his sister decide to throw a small Halloween party, which turns into a typical rager of a high school.
In every 80s movie, that's how it goes down.
I love it.
Weird science effect.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're leaving some stuff out, but...
Yeah, and you can't go into all the nuances.
Door.
It's the most beautiful phrase in the English language.
Oh, yeah. The cellar. Teacher, Drew Barrymore... has written cellar door on the chalkboard and she's getting fired because apparently the two books that she had her class read, one of them talked about flooding and vandalizing a school and the other one talked about burning a house down. So they blamed her for these two incidences, even though they don't know which kid did these two incidences. They're blaming her for, you know, suggesting these books. So she gets fired. And as she's getting fired, she's talking to Donnie Darko and she says, cellar door. She says, so-and-so author says that the two most beautiful words in the English language are cellar door.
Ah,
right.
It's going to be my new mantra.
Cellar door?
Cellar door.
That's your new podcast.
Cellar door.
She just said that she thought that was the most beautiful phrase.
I know, but she quoted somebody.
She was quoting someone else.
Oh.
She was, yeah.
So I wonder if that's a real thing or if that's just a made-up script thing. Anyway, so that comes into play later. I can't quite remember how at this point, but...
I don't think it does.
No, he goes to the cellar door. He goes...
Yeah, the cellar door, that's at the end where how he finds when he's in Lady Death's house. Cellar door was significant.
But what do they find down there?
Well, they find the two other, the bad kid in the grade, which is how his girlfriend gets killed. Everything's significant to things happening like it's supposed to happen.
What? I don't remember the cellar door at all. Okay.
When they're at Lady Death's house, at they leave the party, and that cellar door is where they find the hoodlum kid, the kid with like the mullet and the spiked hair who kind of fucks with him in the bathroom.
Really?
The kid is just in her house?
They find in the cellar door.
I remember they're at the old lady's house and they're like, no one's home, it's locked. But I don't remember why they're trying to get in there. And then he all of a sudden goes, cellar door. And they go down to the basement door and get in. But I don't remember what they found in the house or why.
He started having some awareness of like what was going down. I think he started realizing he was on his like mission, so to speak.
Well, and he wanted to see Lady he knows what the timing is.
Yeah.
And so he knows he's got a few hours. And then during the party, he starts to see everyone's wormhole. Mm-hmm. And so And I think he just, I think he just knows he has to go talk to Grandma Death. I think at this point.
Yeah. So he takes Gretchen to her house.
Yeah.
She's not there, or it's looks like no one's home. They go to the cellar door. It's unlocked. They get in to the old lady's house. And then I don't remember what they
find.
And
then the bad guys just show up. I think they just, I thought the bad guys just kind of followed him. Because didn't they just get out of the car? Didn't the guys, oh no, that was Frank.
That's Frank.
That's Frank.
Well, yeah, some bullies show up and they're trying to.
They're mad because they earlier Donnie got him in trouble, or they think Donnie got him in trouble because they were in class. They were, because he and Gretchen were doing a presentation. The bullies made fun of him. The teacher kicked him out. They got in trouble, so now they're here to take it out.
Right. So Donnie and Gretchen are in front of the old lady's house who wrote the time travel book. The two bullies show up trying to beat them up. They throw Gretchen to the ground, and just then a car comes swerving around the corner and runs over Gretchen. And Donnie goes to her, realizes she is dead, pulls out his gun, and the person driving the car is Frank, because at one point Donnie gets Frank to take off his bunny costume, and you see Frank, the guy who plays Frank, and then he's got like a wound over his eye. He's got like a bloody eye when he gets Frank to take his bunny costume, bunny mask off. So Frank is who gets out of the car, who just ran over Gretchen, his girlfriend, and Donnie raises the gun and shoots him in the eye, killing Frank, the guy who has been leading him to do all these weird things and talking to him. And
which I forget every time I watch this movie. I forget that Frank is a real person.
It's also his girlfriend's, his sister's boyfriend, I think, actually.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Okay, but here's something.
Dudes in Trans Ams are always hot.
Here's something that I'm reading in some notes.
Whoa.
In the overview. Hey. Not my notes, just some notes. It says, the driver is Elizabeth's boyfriend, Frank. Yeah. Wearing the same rabbit costume from Donnie's visions. A second Frank can also be seen standing in the bushes at the same scene. Did either of you catch that?
No.
No.
See, this movie's rich, guys. Lots of things.
No, this movie is stupid.
That's another.
Then it says, Donnie shoots him in the eye with his father's gun, walks home carrying Gretchen's body. So
where does he put Gretchen?
He goes to like their little viewpoint on the mountain, and he's not worried about it because he knows he's going to change time.
So now the countdown is getting closer and closer, and a vortex appears in the sky. For those of you who don't know what a vortex is, it's like a tornado cloud storm thing.
You don't know.
I have seen it enough in movies. Maybe that's not the actual scientific definition.
It's an onomatopoeia.
But that is what's happening in this movie. Is a stormy tornado whirlwind pool of clouds forming above their little town.
Oh, you mean a vortex?
Yeah.
Science.
Dun, dun, dun. Onomatopoeia is not right.
No.
Oh, here we go. This answers your question. He takes one of his parents' cars, loads Gretchen's body into it, and drives to a nearby ridge overlooking the town.
But then he drives to his house to get into bed. And where does...
I think he actually goes to the portal.
There, as the plane carrying his mom and his little sister home from Los Angeles gets caught in the vortex, which rips off and catches one of its engines.
Yes.
So at the same time, his mom and his sister are on the plane home from Los Angeles.
Right. But he's still got to get from the ridge to his bed so that the...
I think he goes in the vortex and redoes time. I think that's the significant, because they split out for us in the movie. His point is to get to the vortex.
Yeah. And then he goes through it and goes back.
And then it resets
the
everything.
Crash.
Yeah.
So he watches the plane get caught
there's
in the vortex.
Time travel aspect.
Which rips off and catches one of its engines. Events of the previous 28 days rewind. Now remember, this is very vague, and that's why people love this movie. Donnie wakes up in his bedroom, recognizing the date is October 2nd, the very beginning of this movie, and laughs as the jet engine falls into his bedroom, crushing him. So he essentially is watching the jet engine go down Everything rewinds. He goes back to the beginning of the movie, essentially, but remembers everything, laughs, and then dies.
And then Gretchen and Mom share a moment.
Yeah, and then everybody is still alive. Mom's still alive. Gretchen's still alive. I'm sure Frank is still alive. Everyone's still alive.
And they play Desmond's favorite song.
And then the
Dreams
movie
I have of dying,
ends.
The best I've ever had. All right, Scott.
I hate this movie.
Tell us why we love this movie.
Jeez. You know, if you watch the original version, it has the fun out. I'm a sucker for the, like, is the person crazy or is this really happening, right? Like the 12 Monkeys kind of playing on that. Again, when we saw the director's cut, it said, no, this is happening. In the original, you're like, is he crazy or is there time travel? There's a lot of, he's schizophrenic. He's not taking his drugs. He's seeing the rabbit. Yeah, it's delightfully weird. And originally you walk away from it and you have to go have a conversation with your friends about what you think happened. Because, you know, if you kind of don't know about the Roberta Sparrow book, there's a lot to it. And like we said, everything is kind of pretty detailed. If you look at it, of how specific all these things were to happen to orchestrate it. It's also a pleasant homage to the 80s. The music is like, for people that are music fans of 80s movies, just love doing musical interludes and montages and stuff. And so they handled that. It's, you know, also weird and some things that seem like totally random and some that actually have to do with the plot. It involves time travel and involves the macabre and involves parallel universes with an 80s.
Can I just interrupt you really quickly? Did you know that this was about a parallel universe before you read that this was about a parallel universe?
No,
you did not. Okay. So most people out there don't know that this was supposed to be about a parallel universe.
Yeah.
I think
we should chew on that a little bit.
I think so.
Okay.
I think, like, I thought it was like,
I'm trying to think if I'm just trying to pretend like I'm smart now. I've seen it so many times, but
the original does not hint at that. It almost seems to me more Butterfly Effect, like that he has to go back. The universe is incorrect because, you know, he lived and cheated death and he has to go back and kind of write it so that everyone else is okay. In one of the Butterfly Effect endings, the main guy had to go back. So he died so that everyone else has a good life.
But do these universes split and reconnect, or do they split and rewind?
Well, we got to chew on that a little bit.
We're going to have to talk about if and how this is actually parallel universes. And if so, does that make it not a time travel movie?
That was going to be my next question. Is this even a time travel
movie? Well, if he does go to a vortex and then goes back and changes things, that's an element of time travel.
Because
Roberta Sparrow's book is about how do you time travel? She was like, you need a vessel, you need a vortex, like a wormhole to go back to time. So like everything that they're talking about is how to time travel.
Well, because he doesn't fix anything. His parallel tangent is what fucks everything up. He's the person who shoots Frank. He's the person who gets Gretchen run over.
So are we ready to chew this out?
Him living fucked up everyone else's life. So basically, right, kind of a butterfly effect. He sacrifices himself.
Yes, exactly. But here's the issue. And this is where we can chew on this, right? So we're saying this alternate universe was made and him living, but him living predicated on the idea that Frank woke him up and made him leave that living room, right? But Frank is only dead and guiding him if that happened. So that's a bit of a loop going on there.
So
this is what doesn't make sense to me. And this is the part we can tear apart right now. Do you guys know what I'm throwing down here?
Well, let's throw it down.
Okay. So in this parallel universe, right, Frank wakes him up and makes him like sleepwalk, and he goes and he sleeps on the golf course. And that's why the rocket does not kill him. Because of that, that sets up this whole thing about how he ends up shooting Frank in the eye and killing Frank, making the Frank that is saving his life. But that Frank would never be the dead shot in the eye Frank that has come back to save him unless that whole thing played out. So that's a loop.
So, but you're saying that it is like a ghost that is luring him out of his bed. So you're saying...
Yeah, they say it's the guiding... Even in the director's cut we saw, they said like there's the dead that helps guide you back, but...
They said the dead specifically?
Yeah, like the gun guiding dead. I mean, he's dead. It's the Frank. It's the ghost that he sees the visions of with the...
But is it... Did the director's cut, because I don't really remember, say specifically something dead or a ghost?
Yeah, there's different parts. They say like the people out there help guide him to do this, which is what the teachers were doing. They say that the dead help guide him, which is what Frank was doing. But again, if it's the split universe and this just happened, this is where it doesn't make sense to me. Do you guys what I'm saying about that being a loop?
So
yes,
but it's sort of a one-time loop.
Well,
because
no.
In this alternate reality, this is what's always happened.
Well, but then it fixes itself. It fixes itself when he gets killed from the jet engine. God, but I can't talk
this
tonight.
This could be if maybe, like, I think if this movie was made now, I think they would have started it at the end and then finished there as well. And that would make it a loop. So he...
Instead of starting at the beginning and ending at the
beginning?
So
basically, Frank keeps trying to save him, and he keeps trying to save Frank, and it's just this never-ending...
Yeah, so this is the good question. Why is Frank saving him? Because ultimately, it sounds like Frank is guiding him toward recorrecting it, but Frank is the one that caused this in the first place.
Yeah, it's nonsense. There's...
This is just like the critical analysis. This is, you know, how we do on Time Pop when we really look at it. But if we're looking at the full structure of this, there's original universe, right? I think they're suggesting their plane on the way back goes by a vortex. Coincidentally, the engine goes through there. No, because that was always supposed to happen because Donnie was supposed to die.
Let's just say the vortex is a natural phenomenon. That's a weather thing. Okay. No one can. Sure. That's just going
to
happen.
Right. No, because Donnie is supposed to die. So that's supposed to happen. The engine is supposed to fall.
Yes.
That's not a parallel thing. The only thing that makes a parallel is him being saved by the rabbit. But for Frank to save him, that had to play out that way. I think Frank to come back and save him.
I think this is a battle, an epic universal battle between Frank and Donnie, both feeling like the other one should live.
I mean, Donnie's not doing it for Frank. He's doing it for the whole universe. He's not doing it to save Frank. He's worried about the girlfriend. He's worried about everyone else, the whole universe being kind of wrong and knowing what he needs to do and like the grand vision of things.
Does that come up? Do they talk about this ripping
talk about a vortex
ass out of our universe?
It's like a portal they reference. Again, this is where the director's cut is kind of neat. It'd be much better for us to just see the original and say what we think this is about. I'm just getting into the nitpicky like time theory here. And that's what kind of doesn't make sense to me. Where did this alternate universe split? And was it only caused by the same in this loop? Also, if the jet engine of their plane went through that vortex, what's happened to the rest of that plane? Do they die in some other parallel universe?
They're on Lost. They're on Lost Island.
If you talk about the way it was supposed to be, was Donnie dying, but not the parents or their girlfriend or anything like that, then...
Oh, in that world, they never get on the plane.
So they never got on the plane. So Donnie dying saved them, but there still has to be a plane going down somewhere because it doesn't have an engine.
Yes, exactly.
Is the pilot for Lost. That black vortex is the smoke monster.
Would have been a much better ending for Lost than Heaven. It's Heaven, but you wait with your friends.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, so you know, you can take this movie two ways. If they're just suggesting this is how the universe should be, this happened, it caused this parallel split. That's one thing. The better idea is that there are tons of parallel universes. There's one where those died in a plane because the engine was sacrificed for this one. But if that's the case, then there's not this pressure on Donnie in one universe to try to correct things. In different universes, different things happen.
To me, this movie feels like it was written and they didn't quite know how to end it. I feel like they wrote this movie and they were like, yeah, this kid sleepwalks and he sees this creepy bunny and the creepy bunny lures him away and then he was supposed to die and he didn't. And then they continue to write this movie and they're like, so how are we going to end this? Oh, I know. He'll just stand on a mountain and see the vortex and then all of a sudden time will go in reverse and we'll go back to the beginning and he dies and then it's over and everything's fine.
No, they know the whole story. The whole thing is set up with everything leads to the ending. It's all very specifically done.
But does it though? Like
everything that Frank makes him do is part of like what needs to happen. Like we say before, everything he had him do has a reason to get to the ending.
Wait, flooding the school had a reason?
Yes, that had him meet his girlfriend. And then losing her is what makes him want to go back and die. Because they flood, he walks her home from school and he's like, yeah. I'm glad it flooded today. Otherwise, we never would have had this conversation.
And
then they start dating.
Burning down the house was just to catch the pedophile?
Probably saved his sister.
No, burning down the house. Wait, we just talked about this a second
Probably
ago.
Probably saved his little sister.
Burning down the house.
No, there was a significance to it. The burning of the house.
Oh, it meant that woman had to stay.
Yes.
His mom had to get on the plane.
The coach had to stay. And remember, she was like, I have to go protect Jim Cunningham. So the mom had to go, which, again, another reason.
She had to go to... So she disappeared.
Right. Roberta Sparrow's
to keep
book.
A paradox from occurring.
In the Roberta Sparrow book part, they showed us that like everything is trying to guide Donnie into like fixing the universe, including like all the elements, the people that are there.
So from what I can tell, I'm trying really hard not to read this whole thing verbatim, but it's all about the artifact. And the artifact is the engine. And the whole point is this artifact came into the wrong universe. So it's Donnie's mission to get the artifact, the jet engine, back to its original universe.
But even in the end, the artifact is there that kills him, right?
But it's probably in the correct universe.
Maybe. Oh,
so that plane went down, but it was just someone else in the plane in that universe. Yes.
The plane went down. Right. The engine was in one universe and the rest of the plane was in another universe. And he had to fix it so that.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
At the end of the movie, do we see the plane go down?
No, but it's we don't know.
We just see him waking up with the engine.
We just see the jet engine going through and killing him.
It always did that.
Right. But I think you guys are right. The artifact left its correct universe. And when that does, it fucks up time, space, continuum, and everything guides. If the universe is like an organism that's sending like antibodies to like try to fix the wound.
The primary universe is fraught with great peril. War, plague, famine, and natural disaster are common. Death comes to all of us. The fourth dimension of time is a stable construct, though it is not impenetrable. Incidents when the fabric of the fourth dimension become corrupted are incredibly rare. If a tangent universe occurs, it will be highly unstable, sustaining itself for no longer than several weeks. Eventually, it will collapse upon itself, forming a black hole within the primary universe capable of destroying all existence. And then I'm glad it mentions this too, because the teacher...
Explain, it's a tangent universe.
The teacher mentions something about... Donnie's like, so if I could get in a craft and go speed of light, blah, blah, blah. And he says, yes, if it's metal. And he was very specific about that.
That was in Roberta Sparrow's book.
So you're reading that based off of the director's cut. Because,
the Roberta Sparrow's book.
Yeah, because in the director's cut, they show parts of that. On the screen.
All right. But so we have a thing here, right? So they're not suggesting many parallel universes. They're saying this vortex fucked it up. This artifact went and formed a tangent universe. And then it's unstable. It's going to die in a few weeks anyway. And it potentially threatened all the universe. So it was up to Donnie to write this plan to get things right in the universe. This form one parallel. That's fine. That all makes sense. My whole thing about it being a loop to get Frank doing, that's the only thing that doesn't for me, but whatever.
I choose Ari. This movie's unnecessarily vague. It's all right there. This is another, it is so Primer-esque in that way that like they could have just done a few things to.
So watch, if you want, watch the director's cut and
see.
It's
not vague. Yeah. It's like, this is what's happening.
It spells it out, but it's not good. Like I don't do a good job of it. It's just words.
But what continues to be vague is why these two. Like I still don't feel like either cut fully explains that the artifact returns to Alpha Universe. Like does the director's cut do a better job of that? Like we can guess.
Yeah,
like at the end of this movie, there's nothing to assure you that this is Universe Alpha. Donnie dies. That's the only thing that really happens. Like Donnie was supposed to die. Other than that, you know, we don't see the plane go down in this universe. We can't.
Well, again, the original, you don't even know. There's not really a way to know about the artifact. That'd be some guessing. That's not mentioned in the original, really. You just think Donnie has to die.
A little bit. Like
in the conversation with the science teacher where he's saying, like, you need an artifact, you need a metal object. I think there's just the director intention that is just not spelled out for you.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I just want to clear something up. So we're saying that it is an anomaly happened and part of an airplane got transported to an alternate universe. And because of that, because a part of a plane is in the wrong universe, that entire world universe is doomed, meaning it will end in 28 days and whatever.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So that universe was already doomed. Now, what exactly did Donnie do to ensure that it will fix itself?
He went
through, he met some people, he went through a certain few steps, he flooded something, he burned something, he met some people, he saved some people, and then he ultimately stood on a mountain and watched after the 28 days and however many hours come to an end to where another vortex, or let's say a vortex, happened.
He goes in the vortex, supposedly, make sure he stays.
So
did he get sucked into the vortex?
That's what, it doesn't show it. I think when I read about it, you know, I guess you have to assume that like he knew that he either drove to the vortex or he knew that it would come to him. It would pass through where he's staying. That part is vague even in the director's cut. Yeah, you're just like, he sees the vortex and you know he's going there. They don't show him directly going there.
So
it was also low budget.
So this alternate universe was already doomed. And yeah, it sounds like this vortex was already going to happen anyway. And there was already going to be another plane, a plane flying through the vortex to get ripped apart, you know, so that the jet engine then falls on his house anyway. I don't understand what.
Well, and that's where time travel comes into it a little bit, where we got to step away from the alternate universe a little bit and realize that this jet engine didn't go necessarily into another universe as much as it traveled back in time 28 days. And that's what made it.
So you're thinking of it as not as an alternate universe, but as in one universe going through time same.
That causes a tangent universe. But at that nexus point, in the original universe, maybe it didn't go back in time. Maybe it happened then.
So you're saying this is a different jet engine that corrected it? This isn't the original jet engine?
No, maybe when he corrected it, that's actually the universe that the jet engine came from. Hope if that's like one of the theories that you guys said before that sounded good to me.
This is my point. Is they're not clear with, you know, in the director's cut, they talked about, you know, it's an anomaly that happened and it needs to be corrected because this new place is now doomed. But he didn't really correct it. The vortex just happened when, you know, the time was up.
Well, he died.
He was aware of it, but he didn't do anything.
He
made sure he didn't leave the room.
No, because he left the room.
No, when he fixed it, he goes back in time and he does not leave the room.
But you think he controlled him going back in time? Because you think he got there, he realized...
Everything about the movie was guiding him toward the vortex so he could go back and do that.
So some unknown force in the form of the rabbit was guiding him to that specific spot so he could go through the wormhole back in time and also to an alternate universe and realize where he is and stay where he is so that he can die and correct everything.
Yeah, almost maybe that's a nexus point that's made the tangent universe.
Is unless he we're saying the just artifact? The artifact.
No, the artifact has to be metal.
The engine, yeah. So maybe it is that then when he's back in the universe and that is the universe that the engine came from. So maybe that way things are corrected. And then someone in that plane died.
God, I watched this movie 2 days ago and I just...
It's unnecessarily so complicated.
You mentioning that this was, you know, low, you know, they didn't have a ton of money. Do you think with a few more dollars, like...
No, I think they wanted to keep it, you know...
$4 million
Yeah, which is like low budget, right? For Hollywood.
That's true.
And I'm just thinking of just
ambitious films.
What little they could do to like seeing him actually like step into a vortex or step into a wormhole and make instead of just kind of going to lookout point and then they rewind the whole movie because now Pedophile kind of this Man moment, is still yeah
where he's looking
Patrick
at
Swayze's
the...
still just dirt bagging it up now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
The more I get angry at this movie, the more I want to watch it again.
See?
You should watch the director's cut, really.
I've seen it. Oh. And I guess, but
more recently,
you don't
remember?
I've seen it too, but this time watching it, I was like, oh, not as good when it spells it all out for you.
But it was mostly just the text. That was, I mean, I looked at the IMDb page and like, there's 100, like, it takes them longer to leave the classroom. And it takes, like, there's a ton of things that don't matter that he just did for dramatic effect. And then I think anything that actually matters to the plot is just what they showed you in the philosophy of time travel.
I mean, yeah, I think people like movies that have stuff you could chew on, and you could chew on sanity, and you could chew on parallel universe, you could chew on time travel. It's, you know, just Inception, you can chew on a lot of stuff.
There's only one answer. We're doing S. Darko. That's the only way. God.
So hang on. There's a sequel to this?
Unofficial.
It's one that no one's seen. It is like low budget. I don't know if anyone in this movie was even involved.
The studio, Darko was. I think it's the same actress.
What actress?
It's a different actress. It's not Maggie Gyllenhaal. Oh, the daughter. The sister.
The little sister.
But I think
Samantha Darko.
This is like Butterfly Effect sequels. You know what I mean? It's like the studio writes to the film and they just made something. It's nothing that anyone who liked this movie like watched.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop, brought to you by Sounds Awesome. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of Donnie Darko. Darko. And please check out our back catalog. We've been doing Time Pop for a while now. We got a lot of great episodes with great time travel discussions. And feel free to send us your thoughts on those old episodes if you want. Just because we put our thoughts out there months ago doesn't mean you can't put your thoughts out now. And maybe it'll spark a new discussion on an old episode right here on Time Pop. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing info and a heads up on what film is coming up in case you would like to watch along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. And check out our Time Pop specific feeds at TPOP9216 on all of the formats. You can email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Along with your thoughts on old shows, we would love to hear your ideas for future episodes. Ari and Dez will be back in 2 weeks with a new Time Pop, but if you would enjoy another fun film discussion, tune into Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday, starring Scott and Dez. Scott, as heard on this episode of Time Pop. On Rotten Popcorn, what we do is we discuss films that have a vast difference in fan and critics' ratings based on Rotten Tomatoes. And that has brought a lot of interesting movies to us. It's not your usual bad movie podcast, because since opinions out there are very vast, we have talked about movies such as Drop Dead Fred, Beaches, The Last Jedi, Boondock Saints, and a lot of other fun discussions on there. We are in the middle of a Johnny Depp back and forth. Last week, we did Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which the critics did not care for, but the audience loved. And next week, tune into Rotten Popcorn for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which flipped the script on Johnny Depp, and the fans did not care for that, but the critics really praised it. So tune in for that fun discussion. And now,
back to the
big finish. Just to put a bow on this episode, since none of us want to time travel this way, so I'm not putting that question on the table, because no. What about future
wormhole,
like being able to see those?
You mean being able to see people's pathways?
Yeah.
But it's only like a few seconds ahead of what they're doing.
That'd still be interesting.
Would it though? Like, oh, there you are. You're about to go to the bathroom. Yep, there you're going to the bathroom.
Well, this is all going into something that comes up, right? This is going to everything's preordained. Time happens as it's always happened. This is going into a destiny, fate. This is just what Ari's path is and Desmond's path is. And you're guided, you're controlled. So that's a thing that comes up.
It takes away our free will.
It does take away free will.
Or it just knows what you're going to choose ahead of time.
But you've always chosen.
It's not that it's not that impressive as far as time travel goes, but
no, this is barely a time travel movie.
It would definitely be like to see everyone's wormhole. If you couldn't turn it off, it would be.
Would you like to see my wormhole?
If you could have it be more than just a few seconds.
If you could control its.
If you could do like days, weeks.
And just pick one person and see their wormhole.
That would be a
little.
Because
if you had to crank everyone's wormhole up, I'd get.
This is getting really dirty. This is really dirty talk you guys are doing.
What?
I'm going to crank Scott's wormhole up.
He wants to crank my wormhole. He wants to check out my wormhole for
weeks. Yeah, and that too was so like, what? Why? What is the point of that?
Well, and that's what I was hoping. I thought, I didn't look at it very closely. I just printed it out and stuffed it in my bag. But there is, in the movie, there's part of the philosophy of time travel that shows like the arrows coming out of there. Because that's your like, your kundalini. That's your like, your main chakra point.
Oh yeah, now
coming right out
this.
Of your belly button.
That's your main chakra, your belly button. I thought it was your head.
Isn't it in your just?
Yeah, no, I know, but in that, it
your
came
love
out of their
chakra,
chest, the clear schmeckles.
Is that your heart? Okay, it comes out of your heart chakra.
Probably another chakra. There's lots of chakras, not the perineum chakra. That's a different chakra.
Tune into we'll be talking about chakras in our upcoming podcast. All the answers.
Hey.
Stay tuned.
I will say this though, Jake did a great job.
Go, Jake. Yeah.
That bunny is very creepy.
Super creepy. And that came out of the director, like he had a dream about that bunny.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. He probably wrote the movie around that bunny.
Yeah, you're right. And then, he didn't have anything to tie it together.
Donnie Darko.
Next time, can we do a real time travel movie, please?
Ooh.
You can pick it.
Ooh.
Okay.
What do you want? You can tell us what we're watching next.
The Mailbox. Just kidding.
That sounds
made up.
Or the Lake House. the one about the mailbox.
Oh, Lake House is going to be our next crossover.
You got about time.
It's about time, Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me here. Someone had to represent the voice of the people, and it might as well be me.
You still like this movie?
Yes, I like the director's cut less than the original. Also, Des, you should know, musical changes in the director's cut.
Yes.
This movie's not blindly put together. The song choices are all very specific for what they do, and even Never Tear Us Apart about worlds colliding, and that's what's in the new version at the beginning. Never Tear Us Apart by NXS.
If you want to hear more... more of Scott's hot takes.
Check
out Rotten Popcorn.
Hell yeah.
Starring Scott Lifton.
All day.
I'm his sidekick. But if you enjoy movies, if you enjoy movie conversations, and if you especially just want to ASMR Scott into your brain, check out Rotten Popcorn.
I've got thoughts. I got opinions. You want to talk about soundtracks?
No. All you want to do is talk about Grease 2 and...
Breaking is going to happen.
Is Breaking One your favorite one, or are you an Electric Boogaloo guy?
One's better. Two is just, it's just an obscure. It's not great.
Enough of that. This has been Time Pop.
It sure has.
Ari, this is amazing. I cannot wait to find out what we're going to do next. It's going to be amazing.
The power is in your hands.
I hope so.
What are you going to do with it, with all that power?
Something good. Something like a real time travel movie.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will.
we're almost 30 movies deep. We're getting weird.
What happens when we run out of movies?
Make one.
Then we start watching TV shows.
All right.
Nice. I'm glad that was I wasn't expecting that. I thought she was going to throw something at me.
There's a bunch.
I like it. There are. We're going to do the Quantum Leap cast.
Yes.
Starring Scott Lifton.
Yes.
Ariel Galah and Chip. I've been Desmond McNeese.
This is Ariel Galah.
And Scott Lifton.
Bye. You're recording right now, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I've been recording for quite a while.
Oh, man.